thin lips. He looked the kind of person who, when they blink, you mark it off on the calendar. Practically none of this was the case, although he did have a small and exceedingly elderly wire-haired terrier called Waffles that smelled badly and wheezed at people. It was said to be the only thing in the entire world he truly cared about. He did, of course, sometimes have people horribly tortured to death, but this was considered to be perfectly acceptable behaviour for a civic ruler and generally approved of by the overwhelming majority of citizens. The overwhelming majority of citizens being defined in this case as everyone not currently hanging upside down over a scorpion pit. The people of Ankh are of a practical persuasion and felt that the patrician's edict forbidding all street theatre and mime artists made up for a lot of things. He didn't administer a reign of terror, just the occasional light shower. The patrician sighed and laid the latest report on top of the large heap beside the chair. When he'd been a little boy, he'd seen a showman who could keep a dozen plates spinning in the air. If the man had been capable of working the same trick with 100 of them, Lord Vetinari considered, he would just about begin to be ready for training in the art of ruling Ankh Morpork, a city once described as resembling an overturned termite heap without the charm. He glanced out of the window at the distant pillar of the Tower of Art, the centre of the unseen university, and wondered vaguely whether any of those tiresome old fools could come up with a better way of collating all this paperwork. They wouldn't, of course. You couldn't expect a wizard to understand anything as basic as elementary civic espionage. He sighed again and picked up the transcript of what the president of the Thieves' Guild had said to his deputy at midnight in the soundproof room hidden behind the office in the guild headquarters, and was in the Great Hall. Was not in the Great Hall of Unseen University, where he had spent some interminable dinners, but there were a lot of wizards around him, and they were different. Like Death, which some of the city's less fortunate citizens considered he intimately resembled, the patrician never got angry until he had had time to think about it. But sometimes he thought very quickly. He stared around at the assembled wizards, but there was something about them that choked the words of outrage in his throat. They looked like sheep who had suddenly found a trapped wolf at exactly the same time as they'd heard about the idea of unity being strength. There was something about their eyes. "What is the meaning of this out?" he hesitated and concluded. "This. A merry small God's day prank, is it?" His eyes swiveled to meet those of a small boy holding a long metal staff. The child was smiling the oldest smile the patrician had ever seen. Carding coughed. "My lord," he began. "Out with it, man," snapped Lord Vetinari. Carding had been diffident, but the patrician's tone was just that tiny bit too peremptory. The wizard's knuckles went white. "I am a wizard of the 8th level," he said quietly, "and you will not use that tone to me."
"Well said," said Coyne.
"Take him to the dungeons," said Carding.
"We haven't got any dungeons," said Spelter. "This is a university."
"Then take him to the wine cellars," snapped Carding, "and while you're down there, build some dungeons."
"Have you the faintest inkling of what you're doing?" said the patrician. "I demand to know the meaning of this."
"You demand nothing at all," said Carding, "and the meaning is that from now on the wizards will rule, as it was ordained. Now, take..."
"You rule Ankh Morpork? Wizards who can barely govern themselves?"
"Yes."
Carding was aware that this wasn't the last word in repartee, and was even more aware to the fact that the dog Waffles, who had been teleported along with his master, had waddled painfully across the floor and was peering short-sightedly at the wizard's boots.
"Then all truly wise men would prefer the safety of a nice, deep dungeon," said the patrician. "And now will you cease this foolery and replace me in my palace? And it is just possible that we will say no more about this, or at least you won't have the chance to."
Waffles gave up investigating Carding's boots and trotted towards Coyne, shedding a few hairs on the way.
"This pantomime has gone on long enough," said the patrician. "Now I am getting..."
Waffles growled. It was a deep primeval noise which struck a chord in the racial memory of all those present and filled them with an urgent desire to climb a tree. It suggested long grey shapes hunting in the dawn of time. It was astonishing that such a small animal could contain so much menace, and all of it was aimed at the staff in Coyne's hand.
The patrician strode forward to snatch the animal, and Carding raised his hand and sent a blaze of orange and blue fire searing across the room. The patrician vanished. On the spot where he had been standing, a small yellow lizard blinked and glared with malevolent reptilian stupidity. Carding looked in astonishment at his fingers, as if for the first time. "All right," he whispered hoarsely. The wizard stared down at the panting lizard, and then out at the city sparkling in the early morning light. Out there was the Council of Aldermen, the City Watch, the Guild of Thieves, the Guild of Merchants, the Priesthoods, and none of them knew what was about to hit them.
End of CD 2.